Fletch, Lacey, and Tyler of Ocean Still are with The Antidote. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Yeah,
so glad to be here.
I gotta say that the sound of your band takes me way back. It's not like anything that's in the current music scene. So do you guys actually enjoy living in the past?
I think there's a lot about early 2000s Christian music that definitely appeals to us. And there's some of that that I'd like to keep alive. And there's some things about music today that are great too. But I think kind of finding our own sound has involved a lot of taking what we love from some of the earlier days.
Does this mean that you're revealing your age?
Nope, not at all. Well, we're all pretty young, but you know, a lot of what was happening even in the 90s, I think a lot of that's coming back and people are remembering how great some of it was. I mean, I personally love a lot of what's being done today in Christian music, but I think there's some things I'd like to see come back too. And one part of that is even like just more real instruments again, like guitars, you know. These days, it seems like if you want to hear guitar-driven music, you got to listen to country. And that's actually got me started listening to country music.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, and there's a lot of faith interwoven in so much country music. Tyler has his solo stuff is country. And so I know he also wants to bring back, you know, some of the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Tyler, why don't you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I just like the authenticity of it, right? Like, it's great that electronic sounds and AI can be a great tool in an artist's tool belt. But I think one of the great things about Ocean Still is that I would say all the members are just very talented instrumentalists. And honestly, we're all pretty decent vocalists, I would say. And so we just like bringing our authentic selves and our God-given skills to the table when we create.
Well, I'm going to lay out my thoughts about your music, because the first time that I heard anything from Ocean Still, the vocals reminded me so much of the band For Him. And that's not a negative, because that band had huge success. But has there been any particular artist that inspired you?
Oh, man. The thing is, none of our roots are really the same. And what we grew up listening to is varied. I mean, I used to play post-hardcore primarily. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of what I grew up on is a part of how this sound is developing. I mean, there are overlaps of things that we all grew up listening to, but I think that adds to how diverse our sound is ending up being, because there are so many roots happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'd completely agree. I would say the one place all the members of the band really kind of convalesce is in that early 2000s era. I'm the youngest one in the group, and so it was kind of like that was on its way out when I really started listening to it, but it was the stuff that the other members really just, they all kind of like absorbed it. And so when Fletch and I met and started writing together, it just became this thing where this was like the common point where we could really figure out what we wanted to sound like. And then you hear throughout our songs that there's these tangents where you hear some of the more, I'll say hardcore stuff that you get influenced from Fletch, but then you get some of the more like pop or country influences that come from my own experience. And that's how we kind of developed our sound.
Fletch, swinging back to you, you'd mentioned about the post-hardcore, and that band was Arms for Elephants. And of course, I still love that band name, but that is so radically different from what's happening with Ocean Still. How do you make a transition like that?
I think the main answer to that is just time. And actually, one of our other members is my cousin, Matt. He was also in Arms for Elephants with me, and he was the clean vocalist, whereas I did the screams. I mean, almost everything I've done musically has been with him in some way. And we've both kind of just, I wouldn't say changed in our tastes, but added on to our tastes. For me, it was around maybe early 20s, mid 20s, I turned on Christian radio, and I never turned the station once for about 10 years. So, I mean, just hearing 10th Avenue North, hearing The Afters, hearing groups like that, for years and years and years, listening to it in my car every single day, it really impacted the way I heard what was happening in CCM, what was happening in, but you know, mainstream Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
And I really fell in love with how accessible it was. And then after that, I would say just playing at church, which is also something that we all share. We've all played in worship bands. I mean, the total of our years would be, I don't even know, it'd be a lot. But when you play these songs every week, it really impacts your taste in music and what inspires you. You know, Ocean Still is, for the most part, we don't write congregational songs, but that's not to say we don't see the value in it. And we've even dipped our toe in that a little bit with tracks like All That I Am and Love Through Us. They're a little more congregational. But I look at music like, if a song is good, then a song is good. And it doesn't really matter what the style is.
Well, let's chat about one of those songs. You gave your band name, Ocean Still, to one of the songs. Part of one verse goes, when the waves get high and I lose sight, you make the ocean still. When currents pull me down, I fight, but it's only your will that can pull me up. So many of your songs, it's about spiritual longing. Is that an intentional theme of your music?
I don't think so.
But I think all of
them. I was going to say absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're both wrong. I'm looking through these lyrics too. I've been looking through all of them, and there are certain themes. And I'm like, oh, I guess that is kind of one of the theme. And like sometimes one picks up where the other one leaves off. Let me put it this way. I think of the goal audience of Ocean Still is largely people who aren't Christians yet. And a lot of what they're experiencing is a longing for meaning in their life, or a longing to know, okay, is there a God? And if there is, who is he? And who is he to me? And who am I to him? You know, so a lot of these lyrics kind of revolve around trying to explain those things in song format.
So you do find that you're getting non-believers listening to Ocean Still. How do they get exposed to it?
All of our songs are on, you know, the major platforms. We haven't done events yet. You know, I mean, it's a concert, but I say event because a lot of what's going to be involved is just people sharing their testimonies. And I think a song can be very valuable in reaching people and sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. But just talking and sharing, like, look, this is what God did in my life, that can really be powerful in reaching people. And that is the goal, is to build the kingdom, and it's to bring more people to Christ and to share the gospel.
Well, Tyler, I know that you're part of the songwriting team at Ocean Still. The songs are all focused on Christ, but would you ever branch out into mainstream music?
As Ocean Still, I don't think so. What we as a band are trying to do is fulfill the Great Commission. Actually, I think all of us in the band all have separate projects we work on as well. Myself, I'm a solo artist, and I perform pop country music, but all of the songs that I write in my solo project have underlying Christian themes, and I'm able to use my solo project to witness to people, and then they find out that I'm a part of a Christian band and can make a really big impact by kind of using these two different avenues to direct people in the same direction.
Most of the artists that I have on this show, Christianity and faith come into their songs, but it's done more subtly. You guys are not being subtle.
No.
No, I mean, there's a time and a place for subtlety, mm-hmm. but I also think that there is a time and a place to stand on the highest hill you can find and just shout for joy that Jesus is here. He's here to save you. He's here to love you, and you can have free relationship with him. All you have to do is ask.
Well, the songs from Ocean Still aren't always absolutely positive. And here's the one example that I'm pulling in. Is It True speaks about the help that Christ can give us, but it's also delivering the question, can this really happen? Does that mean you're allowing doubt to creep in?
So Is It True, kind of the main point of that song is actually that it's good to doubt. Going through the process of doubt before coming to your faith can be a really healthy thing. And if you listen to the bridge of that song, it tells about the scene where Peter is walking on water with Jesus and he's doubting. As soon as he doubts, he falls. But the point was, if you do trust me, then I will do what I said I would do. So I think doubt has an important application. And another thing about that song, it starts out, if you notice, it says, is it true that you did this? Is it true that you did this, Lord? And by the end, you know, the voice of the song is saying, it is true. I doubted and I came to the other side and found that God really is who he says he is.
Well, in raising our children too, you want your child to trust what you tell them, but you also want them to ask questions so that they understand why you've come to the place you've come to. So we always encourage even our children to say, you know, go to God with that. If you don't understand why that is how it is, you can go to God with that and he'll reveal himself to you. Like, you have to give him the opportunity to do that. I think every Christian can identify with their walk at a point where they're like asking God, I don't know if you're here with me right now. Is you said you would be. And there's that opportunity to kind of step back and look at your life and be able to find where God is stepping in. And sometimes you only see that in hindsight, but it's an important part of your faith, having a stronger base from building that trust with God. It doesn't happen just instantly. You don't just say, oh, I'm going to trust God today and that will never waver. It will waver, but it gets stronger because of that wavering. And when those storms come, a lot of times that's when it's becomes even more stable.
Meaning that sometimes Christ can give you a kick in the pants?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. But I think that's when he can grow your roots even deeper.
Doubt is one of the things that defines our faith. We're allowed to question, encouraged to question, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Oh, but some churches, they don't want to hear about doubts at all.
No, that's true. It's funny. We decided to release that song as the very first single. We had a few to choose from, and we chose that one because it's kind of represents a good starting point of, you know, I'm kind of curious about this Jesus guy and I want to know more. And, you know, this song kind of captures that perspective that so many people have.
Some of your songs are definitely full worship. One verse of All That I Am goes, take all that I have and all that I am. You died on a cross to give life again. Take all that I have and all that I am. Let your love surround me. Now, do you guys have any intentions of bringing the songs into church worship?
I think when we put on events, certain songs like that one, because that is designed to be congregational, it's one that we can kind of teach people as we're doing it. And you can learn that chorus, you know, after hearing it twice. And then by the time we're really doing the song, everyone's singing it. So yeah, that is kind of designed to be that way, which isn't our norm. But writing some congregational worship songs, I think, is a good thing. And I really love that song. I think it worked out well.
Well, and at the events, when you're listening to music, I mean, having that moment of actually understanding what you're listening to and singing along with and just writing music that has positive ideas behind it and then allows for introspection.
You just spoke about writing lyrics. I'm really curious. How does the songwriting work for Ocean Still? Does any one of you take charge creating?
Most of these lyrics were Tyler and I writing them together, or one of us starting with something and then the other one kind of picking up on it. All That I Am, actually, it's a kind of cool story about that one. The way that song started was Tyler sent me a voice memo and he was like, I was just hearing this for like 2 hours, just this few lines, and then it was the melody and everything. It was the chorus of that song. He's like, I don't know, God just is putting these words and this melody in my brain and it won't go away. So I'm giving it to you so we can remember it. And it turned into our seventh single. I would say though, no two songs are the same. Sometimes you get a whole song in 10 minutes and sometimes you come back to it after months. And Yeah, you just never know.
Let's switch into the song Quit, and it shares, "Quit your striving and find rest. God's got a plan that you haven't seen yet." Now, you have to admit, that's a pretty common Christian statement, especially if in a CCM song. But it's also left me trying to figure out if your band is really focusing primarily on encouraging Christians, or do you figure that you're evangelists?
That's a tough one.
I would say they aren't mutually exclusive ideas, like in the slightest. I think that even Christians need to be reminded of the truth and guided into closer relationship with Christ. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of evangelizing towards people that already say they believe. I mean, you can look at the various denominations and sects of Christianity, and some of them have very contradictory beliefs. And our goal as artists and as a band is really just to guide people towards a closer relationship with Christ.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well said. Well, and actually, you know, the last lines of that chorus, "bring nothing more and nothing less than a willing heart and a little faith that he knows best." So the point of the song is stop trying to be good enough and just rest in the fact that God is good enough. We're not called to be good enough. We're called to trust.
With Ocean Still making such a tight fit into the CCM genre, there's something about the genre is that it's taking over the whole Christian music scene. But you know, the negative is that also comes with restrictions, because listeners expect songs to sound a certain way. But does that limit creativity?
I think it does limit creativity, and that's one reason why we aren't really trying to be fully within that funnel. These songs are kind of more, what is this song supposed to be? And if it doesn't fit into mainstream radio, so be it. Write the song anyway, because it's not the goal. It's a nice thing to be able to have radio play as much as possible. But for this project, it's more important for us to be authentic in our creativity.
The home of Ocean Still is Minneapolis, and your city has been going through a lot of trials with ICE prowling the streets. How have local Christians reacted?
Local Christians have really, I think we all are looking to just continue to spread Christ's love, and there's a variety of ways to do that. There are times where I've seen people, including myself, that have done food drives to help people that are too scared to go into work. And that's not even necessarily a particular community or group of people. It's just there are people that are scared right now, and we can be the hands and feet of Christ by bringing them comfort. Even with all that's going on right now, I think the Christian community has done a really good job of surrounding the Twin Cities and really the whole state with the love of Christ. And I'm excited to see what God has planned for his city.
Well, that's good to know. That may also tie into one of your songs, "Never Alone." And that's one of your prettiest. It also brings up a question. "I'm listening for your voice. When I can't find my way through the noise, I'll follow you through the dark." I do get that, but what kind of darkness and noise are you actually speaking about?
That song is, I mean, it's kind of an intimate perspective. Not that you can't apply it to a larger scale, but that song was co-written by Matt. You know, I don't want to speak too much for him, but he's my cousin. He struggled with various addictions for many years. And this song kind of represents his finding that he can rely on God, that God really never left him alone, even in many, many times when he felt that that was the case and even thought that was the case. So a lot of that darkness and the noise is in this case referring to people who are just struggling. I mean, everyone's struggling with something, but what Matt was struggling with was addiction, and the darkness that is the world that can bring you into, it's not an easy place to be alone in. And so when he realized that he in fact never was alone, even when he thought he was, that's really powerful. In verse 2, he does reference the addiction and the shame a little bit there.
Your band has been putting out a long list of singles during the past year. Is this leading up to an album, or is that kind of a release important anymore?
Yeah, I don't know if albums for indie artists are as important as they used to be. You know, with the world of social media being what it is right now, you kind of live under this rule of new is always better. For smaller artists, if you put out an album, you restrict all of the content that you're able to make surrounding a particular song, right? And so one of the nice things about releasing singles or doing what's called a waterfall release allows you to kind of have this constant stream of new music that stacks on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what we're looking to do with Ocean Still until we build an audience that's big enough or just have like an extra 12 songs lying around that we feel called to put out as a full album. That's something we'll do.
Is it easy to write songs? I mean, you said if you had 12 kicking around.
I don't think we've really ever struggled. I mean, there's definitely been times where we get stuck. You know, there are roadblocks, but that's one of the nice things about having a group where we all can write together is that if I'm starting a song and I get stuck, Fletch will hear what I started doing and he'll kind of take off from there. So it's not that there aren't challenges, but we are all able to help each other overcome those challenges.
Yeah. One thing about that too, if something isn't working, we stop. We don't spend a lot of time on it. You set it aside for later or not. That does happen. Sometimes a song flows and the words flow and it works. And sometimes you have a really good start, but the follow-up just isn't coming right away. And that's okay. You know, set it aside.
And nobody ever gets mad and say, what were you thinking?
Oh, all the time. No.
Constantly we do, honestly. But that's part of why we work so well together is that we can give honest and direct feedback without hurting anyone's feelings.
Yeah, that's actually true. There's a lot of insults. But
it's mostly me shutting down Fletch's ideas.
If more of them were good ideas, then you wouldn't have to be so harsh with me. But,
it's
you know.
It's so true.
Okay, Lacey, I need your opinion. We all know that you're the most important band member.
Oh, good.
How do you tolerate these wannabes that you're working with?
You know, I was always one of those kids that liked to write poems and things. I've kind of known for some of the silly things I put together for like Christmas card, you know, like the little things you write on your Christmas card every year. Mine usually rhyme and they're kind of goofy. I'm going to flip it on you. I have a little bit of a skill, but a lot of my stuff can come out kind of cheesy. So it's nice to have Fletch and Tyler and all the boys to say, yeah, the girls might like that, but I don't know if that's really, you know, or kid, it's kind of kiddie or it's kind of, so it's nice when you're around people that can look at something from another perspective and say, yeah, that's cutesy, but what if we do this? Now it actually has depth and meaning to it. And then it's like, oh, okay. So sometimes we get to an end of a song and it's like, wait, so who wrote what part of this? Because it started out with you writing that and then you changed this one word and it made that happen. So yeah, they just become kind of all mashed together. And at the end, it doesn't matter who came up with what. It, as long as it has purpose and God can use it, then let's get it out there.
Let's carry on with you, Lacey, because you came from being the background vocalist to taking the lead on the song Take, and it gets into how people can be distracted and lose focus on God. So I know that easily happens to me, but what about you? Can you be distracted?
Oh, goodness. Maybe you should let my husband decide that. No. You know, when you have a family and you have children and they have activities and the day just, you know, it just happens to you sometimes. And you get to the end of the day and you're, you know, if you're not intentional, you don't, you know, make that time to sit down and interact with your family and pray with them. I mean, and even the act of having a dinner together with a family is becoming almost obsolete in some homes. They're never at home together to even eat. So It's so important to us. We make sure we have several times a week where we're very intentional and then daily intentional about praying with our children and giving them that opportunity to share their hearts and what their days have been like. Still, yeah, I'll be on my phone trying to respond to somebody that's asked a question. And then my kids are, you know, asking questions and they're looking at you like, did you hear me? And it's, no, I didn't hear you. There's too many other things going on in my head. You get to the end of the day and you go talk to God and you say, here I am again. I made it through another day. I don't know if I did my best. I did the best that I could in the moments. And I'm just thankful I have tomorrow to try again. And I want, I want help. I need your help to make it better regularly.
Yeah. And that's where like the song Take is really, the whole thing is just a prayer of submission and a prayer of asking God, help me to focus on you and anything that's coming between us that shouldn't, take it away. Help me to be more focused on you and my family and the things that you want me to be focused on.
Lacey, I'm still wondering if you have to lock yourself in the closet to get away from all the demands on you.
Well, but there, what do they say? You're supposed to have a space. I mean, even if it's not a physical space, but you're supposed to have that opportunity with God. And I will say a lot of, yeah, my opportunity is those few minutes before you finally, you know, go to bed. It's like you're in the dark, you're in the quiet. One of the favorite parts of my day is praying with my children. We just make memories in those moments that are going to be something that I hope they, you know, it plants the seed for them to do the same thing with their children. And that's just going to be a generational choices that are going to stabilize you in this world. Because the world, I mean, we're taking in chaos from literally the entire planet on a daily basis. And I don't think we were meant to have to think about all of the problems of the whole world every day. But I still need to be intentional about who has God put in my ministry. A lot of that's right in your own home.
You guys have had such a long stream of singles. What's the next one going to be?
The next one is called God of Heaven. And it's actually featuring our friend Corey, who is a really amazing gospel singer and gospel writer. The song God of Heaven is set up to be like a conversation between a person and God. And Tyler is, in this case, the person, and Corey, all of his lines are what God is saying in response to this person. It's a really cool song of God declaring his authority in a really uplifting and comforting way. Kind of a congregational song when it comes to the chorus. But if you look at the whole song, it's kind of unusual because it's a conversation between man and God. Corey actually helped mix this song too a little bit. And it was really, really a blast having him help with that. His mind for this stuff was very valuable.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, the band members of Ocean Still put a lot of time and effort into your music, but I want to hear about what your goals are. What do you want to achieve?
It would be awesome to play huge events and have massive streaming numbers. I don't know if that's going to happen, but as long as we are doing what God wants us to with this project and fostering it, then to me, that's success. Wherever he wants to take it, I'm really excited for that. What I can hope for is, you know, to be putting on some events and, yeah, growing our fan base and having more people, you know about us, obviously. But as long as the impact is there, then the numbers will always be secondary.
Lacey, Tyler, and Fletch have been here for this talk with The Antidote. Thanks so much for all of you coming. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Thanks for having us, yeah.